Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. So today we encounter really a story of a lot of least likely scenarios here in what is actually one of my favorite passages of scripture. And if I recall correctly, the second one I ever had to preach a sermon on way back when I was in seminary and like preaching class. So it's one I've got a special connection to. And part of what I love about this passage of scripture that we've read today from the book of Acts is how many strange and surprising things that we find here. We can start with the whole premise of the story, that God says to Philip, one of the first of kind of the deacons of the church, a Greek-speaking early follower of Jesus there in the Jerusalem community who's gone out to some of the surrounding communities to preach. God says, all right, instead of hanging out here where there are actually people around, I want you to go out into the middle of nowhere. Go take the road that goes down to Gaza through the desert. So Philip does it, and he goes out into the absolute middle of nowhere, and he comes across this remarkably unlikely figure to run into, a stranger there on the desert road, a man from Ethiopia. So somebody who has journeyed a very long way over land from East Africa to go up to Jerusalem to visit the temple there, and who is on his way back home. Now, this is somebody who, for a number of reasons, would have been viewed with, if not suspicion, at least really strong curiosity by Philip and the people of his land and time. Because number one, the man is a foreigner. He's from Ethiopia. He's not even one of the next door neighbors. He's from quite a distance away. He's a royal official who works in the court of the Ethiopian queen. So he's somebody important. And by virtue of his physical alteration as a eunuch, he would have been viewed as outside of kind of the accepted norms of Jewish society there in the early first century. He was different. He would have been only allowed, when he went to the temple there, to go into its outermost court, both as a eunuch and as a foreigner. He's different. He's unexpected. He's none of the things that you would anticipate somebody who is about to play a huge role in the history of the church would be. And yet, there he is. This person that Philip encounters on the desert road there in the middle of nowhere. And what does he happen to be doing but reading from the book of Isaiah, studying the scriptures, scratching his head, trying to figure out what on earth Isaiah is talking about in them. And so Philip gets up there in the chariot, meeting the man where he is at, and starts working his way through this passage with him. One of the early churches' first, high impact Bible studies here, as Philip patiently explains to the man, no, Isaiah is not talking about himself. He's talking about this man named Jesus, who not that long ago lived, was crucified and died, and rose again right here for the forgiveness of sin for the world. And the man asks, what could stop me from being baptized? Now, you might anticipate in a story that takes place in the middle of a desert highway that an absence of water would be a problem, but conveniently for our narrative purposes today, they happen to be close enough to a body of water so that there is nothing to stop the baptism. And so they go down to the water. Philip baptizes the man. And then as soon as it's over, the Holy Spirit whisks Philip away, off to another part of the region to go continue his preaching and teaching with his work done. It's a story full of wonders occurring in unexpected places with unexpected people. It's a story of God showing up in the stranger who you would least expect God's presence to be revealed in. It's God showing up in the place that you would least expect God to show up at. And it's a story of God showing up in simple, everyday things like water to turn them into something more than just a pool of water there off on the side of the road, but instead an entry point into eternal life, into the transformative power of God alive and active in the world, of the good news of Christ revealed in our midst. And those wonders occur, and the grace that's seen that day ripples out like a wave across a pond when the water gets disturbed. It sets in place events that ripple even today, because that Ethiopian man made it back home. He made it back to the court of the Ethiopian queen. And history tells us that he wasn't the only one to follow Jesus in Ethiopia, and that, in fact, long before most of our northern and western European ancestors had even heard the name of Jesus, Ethiopia had become one of, if not the first, Christian nations on the planet. A place out of which missionaries to spread the good news came. A place that has upheld the gospel and preserved that saving word now for close to 2,000 years. A place whose existence has helped ensure our own as a faithful people here today in another kind of unlikely place for wonders to be worked. Because this isn't a big church. This isn't a big community. This isn't the kind of place that folks around the world talk about and recognize and can find on the map. If you were to, you know, take a trip even somewhere else in the state, you would probably have to explain where Wazika is, let alone if you were to go halfway across the country or halfway around the world. And yet, in this place, wonders are happening. Wonders are happening even today as we celebrate the miracle of what God does in something as simple as water when it's joined with the saving promise of Christ. We celebrate today the wonder of baptism as Sutton and Sawyer are joined with Christ's promise, are baptized into his death and risen into new life through the power of God's Spirit working wonders here around this font. We see wonders worked in all of our hearts as we remember the promises of our baptism, that now we are part of God's people, that we are part of God's family, adopted and made heirs of Christ's promise, made one with each other and with the very life of Christ. We see the wonders that God works in the world through the community of the baptized, through faithful people bearing Jesus' name, as we go out from these doors into our communities and into our world and do our best to take that love and grace and mercy and make it real for folks out there. Just like that Ethiopian man nearly 2,000 years ago, not leaving behind what it is that we saw out there, but taking it with us and continuing to share that good news that the living Christ lives on our behalf and calls us and claims us as his very own. May Christ meet each and every one of us here today. May we all see with our own eyes and hear with our own ears the promises of grace and mercy that Christ joins here with water to transform hearts and lives. And may each and every one of us take that promise of grace and mercy and share it with the world around. Because who knows, 2,000 years from now, what testament of grace and mercy the world might trace back to us simply because we said yes to God's eternal promise, to God's call, and faithfully followed where Christ leads us. Amen.